Before we start, could we, I don't know about you, but there's sometimes when I really feel inadequate for some of the things that the Lord has placed on my heart, and I think this is one of them. And what a better place to do it than in the time of prayer. Our Father, we come before you manifestly aware that we're often unable to express your heart, and I feel that way, but we also know that you're more than able to accomplish your will and your desire, even through a mere mortal. Father, we thank you first and most of all that you loved us so much as to relinquish your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to bear our sin and shame, and yet to rise again, and having looked beyond the cross, looked at those of us who desperately needed a Savior, and how we rejoice that we're thine. You've even gone so far as to call us friends. We thank you that you've given us a Holy Spirit to indwell us, to help us even in our prayers when they don't seem to measure up, or at least in our minds. We thank you that we have a Bible in a language not only that we understand, but the opportunity to be able to own one and to read it. We thank you for a country that, as of this moment, allows us to not only own a Bible, but to gather together, to honor the very one who loved us and gave himself for us. And so with that, Father, as we open your word, we pray that it would be to the blessing of all who would hear, and most of all, that it would give glory to you. And so we commit our time to you, and we ask it in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, I was wondering how in the world to begin this, but the one thing that I've learned and kind of almost wondered about, I hate to say it, but I'm a sci-fi junkie. I like the Star Wars and stuff like that, where you see the outer space and all that other stuff. And yet I am reminded that as I have read through the book of Job, that there's an unseen world that frankly goes completely beyond our notice. I'm sure most of you already know pretty much how the story goes, of how Satan comes before God. And there's this discussion about Job, a righteous and godly man, but yet here we find him completely oblivious to everything that's going on in that realm. Yet he himself is the object of it all, and he lost everything. The unknown, the unseen. Then we go to the book of Esther, and we find out that God's name isn't even mentioned. And yet we have to honestly admit, when we read through that very short book, that everything worked out just like a storybook, and everybody lived happily ever after, kinda. A man once said that in the book of Esther, we see God behind the scenes and moving the scenes that he's behind. You know, I am almost, at a loss to be able to explain something that I can't see, that I can't touch, that I don't understand. And yet here we are tonight reading God's word about a sovereign God. And we had that last week, and I was extremely blessed by it, by the way. to know that there is someone who is beyond. But in the portion that's before us right tonight, we're looking at something in the way of the details. And that is God, the head. God, the supreme over everything. And we're going to look at those everythings. So with that, let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Starting with verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and his before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I'm almost a little afraid. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to talk with an older brother, and I said, boy, wouldn't it be interesting to see the dark, unknown realm that's about us? And he looked at me and he said, you got to be kidding. For the prince of the power of the air, the demonic war that's going on in the heavens is something that our eyes have been sheltered from, and by good reason. For it's not a place for which we want to, you might say, ponder much over. The one thing I do know is that whether they be principalities, whether they be powers, whether they be things seen or unseen, we have somebody who is the head over it all, somebody to who has the preeminence. And though it may seem like a small thing, every time I get on the Zoom and I see at the bottom of the entrance page and it says that he might have the preeminence, it's another reminder that you and I, of all things, need to remember that, yes, there is a demonic realm. There is an unseen realm. It's cruel, hateful, and the prince of the power of the air will not stop at anything in order to ruin anything and everything that's related to God, the person and work of his Son, the influence of the Spirit of God, the church, you, your family, and everything that's about us that we hold dear, and that those things for which we have to honestly wake up in the morning and thank God for. That he would have the preeminence. Verse 18 says that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, this is not meant to be a slam, but who is the head of ELBC? Deacons, elders, individuals. Jesus Christ is the head of this body of believers. Doesn't diminish the effectiveness of those who attempt to try to make sure that we're kind of on a right track, but stop and remember that Jesus Christ is the head of this church, this fellowship. But the church here is also an indication of something that's even far greater, because this is the universal church, the Catholic Church. not Roman Catholic, but the Catholic in the sense of universal, who is the head of the church, of every blood-bought saint, Jesus Christ. Turn over, if you would, to Ephesians 5. I'm sorry, 4:26. I'm sorry. Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Wonderful concept that even as we look at the unknown realm, and that's something for which we don't often have an adequate picture of, but this much we know, that, again, there is only one God. There's only one Savior in Jesus Christ. There's only one Spirit. And there's only one way, and that's to come by faith. How wonderful it is to know that, I don't know about you, I look in the mirror and I have to honestly admit, why me? I don't understand it, and I certainly am not going to be able to explain it in any detail, but somehow, and if we read in Ephesians chapter 1, that in some eternity past, he looked upon me and saw me as something valuable enough to send his son, I can't help but just rejoice. Yet it's a terribly humbling thing when you stop to think that only maybe 10% of this entire population of this world at any one time is ever considered to be a Christian, and you can always look in the mirror and say, I am a miracle. Turning back to Colossians, chapter 2. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you were complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The headship of Christ over the unseen, the headship of Christ over the things that are seen, every detail of which creation is made, which of which he is the preeminent one, is all wrapped up in the head, which is Jesus Christ. So if you're sitting here wondering what in the world is going to happen tomorrow, if you look at the news and you worry about the people who are saying, where's God when this disaster happened? All you have to do is say, he's there. Yes, he's behind the scenes, and he's working the scenes he's behind for his glory and for his honor in some way. And sometimes we have to scratch our head and ask, why did he do that? And yet we can trust him and say, he is preeminent. He is the head over all principalities and powers. There might be some who are listening that are all of a sudden saying, oh, what would happen when the election comes and it doesn't go the way we think it ought to go? Are we going to sit there and wring our hands and cry and weep and wonder why such a thing could ever happen? And yet we look at a God who loved us so much as to give his son, to make him the preeminent one, and to rest every authority in him. And yet we know that all things work out together for good, because he's ordered it. He is the preeminent one. He is the head over all principalities and powers, and that includes the powers that be. And there are some people, men that are, and women that I see in places of authority, that I scratch my head and wonder why in the world God would ever choose them. And yet God has a purpose and a reason. Colossians 2, 18 and 19. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and hands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases to the increase of God. Well, I looked at this holding the head, and I have to honestly admit I've read any number of explanations for it, but the gist of it, from what I can understand, is that we not only recognize that Jesus Christ is the head, but it's also given him his rightful place. And that's a sobering thought when you stop to think about it, because every one of us have a Bible. We can read it. We could probably have it explained to us, and we might kind of understand it. But putting shoe leather to that particular concept is not always easy. And yet all three are required, not only to read it, not only to understand it, but to follow through with it. If we were to go over to 1 Corinthians, we would find out that, and also in Philippians, that Christ is the head of the man. The man is the head of his wife and the family. And so in a certain sense, there is a concept where we as individuals must recognize personally that he is the head. And I am responsible before God and before man to represent him in all his glory and all his beauty, in everything that he is in the way of these attributes that we've been talking about. These attributes for which, frankly, are not easy, but yet that doesn't make us despair, because we have someone whose love for us goes beyond and has made every provision for us, not only for the time down here, but yet for all eternity. And so it's not something for which we do not have the capacity to do, because even in those things for which we're unable to seem to do, we have someone to help us to do it. You know, I've been practicing a little song. It's a children's song. It goes like this. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars and the sun and the earth and the Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. I'll be perfect just according to his plan. He is the potter. According to his plan. So it's not something to despair, but it's also not something to worry about when it comes to those current events. When we come to ELBC, this fellowship is also supposed to represent the person and work of Jesus Christ. And indeed, when we see that little phrase at the bottom, at the Zoom, it says that he might have the preeminence. I hope we recognize that we have a mandate from the head, who is Jesus Christ, to represent him in all his beauty, his person, his work. The gospel as it should go out to those who are lost and those who need, they need a savior. And it's only in Jesus Christ. I wish we could say that this country of ours, which started off as a Christian nation, so to speak, has fallen from those that glory. But this much again that we could say is that we're hastening on to a glory that's yet before us. And I rejoice at that, because when we say face to face with Christ my Savior, Christ face to face, what will it be when in rapture I'll behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? There's a bright morning coming, and that morning is, well, we often say perhaps today, to remember that our home going is just around the corner, maybe tonight. And during the time that it's still left for us, we're here to hold the head, whether it be individually, where you and all your various relationships, whether it be work, school, or whatever, you have a relationship and you have an obligation to represent Jesus Christ in all his glory. That when others indeed see you, they see Jesus Christ, and they see everything about him in all of his glory and attributes. ELBC, I look at you and I say, we also have that same concept and mandate that we are to represent Jesus Christ in everything of who he is and what he has done. And as much as I'd like to ignore it, just keep in mind that you and I, as part of this fellowship, as far as the Catholic Church, we are to represent Jesus Christ. We need to hold the head. We need to recognize that whether it be things seen or things unseen, he still is preeminent above it all. He not only created it, but it was for his purpose that he should be the one, the only, the preeminent one in whom everything consists. And yes, eventually there is going to be a time. We often read First or Philippians, because there is coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory and honor of the Father. I wish there was something more I could say to possibly convince you that it's worth living, and it is, and it's not going to get any easier. Satan, above all things, wants to destroy you and your testimony before the world and for all those that you have a relationship with. He wants to destroy your family and anything in the way of a testimony that represents Jesus Christ. He wants to destroy ELBC and any every other body of believers that comes together to try to give him the glory and honor and the preeminence, and he's out there to destroy that as well. The church is in ruin in many respects, and Satan has done a wonderful job of doing it. But we're to be faithful and true. We are to hold the head. We are to recognize him as the head of the church, which is his body. I don't know what else to say. I think maybe the Lord has pretty much exhausted what I have to say. I hope that it reaches your conscience as well as your heart. That you, I, and everyone around us that hears us voice, I hope that they recognize that the joy and the privileges of being a child of God is a wonderful, wonderful privilege, but the days are coming in which that will be tried. And I can only say with John in Revelation, one of the churches, it says, be thou faithful. Be thou faithful. Hold the head. Represent him. Represent all of his attributes. Give him the glory that's due to him. Amen. That's all I have to say. I wish there was, again, I got, one of my kids said I have a bad disease and I talk too much, but maybe we should just leave it at that. Father, we come before you ever wondering whether or not what comes from your heart is actually going to the hearts of those who hear. And certainly there are times when we have to honestly admit a little bit of failure. But we thank you that, Father, you can take all of this and turn it into something that would be an honor to you, that would give glory, honor, and praise to your wonderful Son. And as we close this evening in giving thanks, attempting to intercede for those who are going through issues and trials, to remember that above all people, we're richly blessed in this land and other lands don't have this privilege. Oh, how we pray, Father, that you would, in your mercy and in your grace, help us to see beauty in your Son. Help us to honor him in everything. And we commit it all to you in the precious name of your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.